What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another one of our seven-figure fitness business podcasts. It's your host, Iggy Odigizua, here to help you stay calm, change lives, and have business on your terms. In today's episode, what I want to dive into is a question that I've been answering a lot frequently this week. It's, what is our process? How do we grow and scale businesses? There's about four phases to the process that we have, and I love having frameworks, right? For you guys to understand, when you're building anything and when you're scaling anything, you need to have systems, right? A system is just a documented, a repeatable process to carry out any given activity, right? And so that could be a written process, it could be an automated process, it could be an SOP that somebody else carries out. Having it documented gives you systems. Like, that's how you actually build the system. So our process for building and scaling online businesses is clearly documented, and it's a system for how we launch brands, how we're able to bring on a new brand and get it to a point where within a week of launching, it's already producing a 5-to-1 return on ad spend. So there's four phases that we go through. The first phase is what we call foundation. Now, during the foundation phase, what we're doing is we're analyzing the audience, we're analyzing the offer, we're analyzing the brand, and we're also analyzing the personality of the entrepreneur or the face of the brand, right? And trying to put together and trying to figure out, like, what's going to be the best way to craft a campaign and offer that's going to allow us to target a specific audience and put an offer in front of them that's cold friendly, meaning that it solves a specific problem that they're actively looking to solve, right? They're looking to make a purchasing decision around this particular problem. So that's the foundation, right? And it requires a lot of research. It requires processing a lot of information and gathering a lot of data. And remember our acronym, our CADE acronym: compile data, analyze data, data-driven strategic planning, execute, CADE, right? So in the foundation process, and if you start to listen to me or hear me talk long enough, you realize I'm repeating myself a ton. And a lot of the things that we do is very repeatable. We repeat a lot of the things that we do. So I'm taking the CADE framework through the foundation, right? As we're establishing the foundation, we're compiling a lot of data, we're analyzing a lot of data, and we're using that data to develop data-driven strategic planning. Who's the target market? Who's the target audience? What type of brand do we need to put together for this target audience? And what type of offer do we need to put together that's going to be a no-brainer for this audience? You know, what problem are they actively searching for? And how do we craft a solution that's going to make sense for them? So that's the CADE framework right there, just in the foundation process. All right, once we complete that for the foundation, we go through the CADE framework again for pre-launch. So now that we've laid this, again, what we're doing is we're double-checking things. So in the pre-launch, we document everything that we need to cross-reference, anything that we need to check. Again, what we want to do is want to measure twice, cut once. Measure twice, cut once. So what we're doing before we launch is we're just looking at everything. We want to inspect and want to double check things. We're checking links. We're looking at the brand. We're analyzing it and we're making adjustments and trying to catch as much as we can last minute. Now, obviously, like, we've launched brands and there's been mistakes and there's been broken links and things like that. Nothing's ever going to be perfect, but the more at-bats that you give yourself, the more runs that you have at anything, the better that you get. So the pre-launch phase, where we're starting to double check and we're making sure we're approving things or we're getting things dialed in. And then when we go live, that's phase three, is going live. And a lot of people don't even make it to phase three because they're just so stuck in uncertainty and they feel insecure and they feel fearful of what if it fails, what if it doesn't fail. And that's why, like, clients, when they work with people like us who've actually done the thing and know what they're doing, they get to borrow our confidence and our certainty in the process. They get to borrow that and leverage that to actually push go and go live. Right, so we're actually holding their hands and we're pushing it live with them. So when we go live, there's three steps that we're going through. Step one is audience verification. Now, we've done all the research in the foundation. We've measured twice, cut once, verified everything is buttoned up, but now we need to validate the research and the decisions that we made based on data that we've seen in the marketplace. Step one is validating the audience, so it's audience verification. So what we do in step one is we want to make sure that we're actually attracting the right people at the most impactful stage of the sales process. So for us, the way that we measure our initial results is we want to get the right people on the phone. And initially, we're looking to just get 1 out of 10 people that we get on the phone with to be a good fit. You're never going to get 10 out of 10 people on the phone who are a good fit. So initially, we just want to get 1 out of 10 people, right? So for every 10 people that our salespeople talk to, is one of them a really good fit? If they are, then it means that we are attracting the right people, right? So we've been able to verify that we're getting the right people coming through our sales process and getting to the most impactful stage of the sales process where they're a legitimate opportunity on the phone with one of our sales reps, whoever's the face of the brand or whatever it is, they're getting on the phone and having an opportunity to actually make an offer to that person. Once we validate and verify the audience, step two is message optimization. So now what we're doing is we're listening to the people that are the right fit, right? So if we get somebody who's a 10 out of 10, we want to listen to that conversation. How do they describe why they jumped on a call with us? How do they describe why they even came to us? How do they describe their problem? How are they describing their goals? How are they describing their struggles, right? So we're taking that information and we're using it to update our marketing message. We're weaving that information in our ad copy, in our videos, in our content that we're posting on our pages. And we're also weaving that information into Charlie. We're training Charlie to have those types of conversations to ask better questions to the prospects that are coming through for that brand. Side note, if you don't know what Charlie is, you're likely either just watching this for the first time or you live under a rock. Charlie's our conversational AI that automates appointment setting, booking, vetting, qualifying, anything that you need when it comes to pre-qualifying a prospect and pre-converting them before they get on the phone, right? So what we're doing is weaving that messaging through Charlie. We're weaving that messaging through the lead gen. We're weaving that messaging through emails, through different reminders, and throughout the process, we're also weaving that messaging through the landing pages, through the thank you confirmation messages, to anything that they're going to see before they get on a call. That's message optimization. You have to be actively taking information that you're gathering from the prospects that you want to be attracting more of and relaying that information and using it to update the entire system, right? To update the entire process, right? So we start optimizing the messaging and there's a specific result that we're looking for in step two. We want to see an increase in applications and an increase in booking. Because if we do it right and we accomplish message optimization, we're attracting more of the right people. And now they're going through our entire process at a higher success rate, which results in an increase in throughput and more calls being booked on the calendar, right? So then we know we've accomplished message optimization when we're getting more calls being booked on the calendar, more people showing up, and more of the right people are actually attending those calls. And then from there, we want to see more calls being booked. We want to see an increase in show rate, and then we want to see an increase in throughput. And then from there, we transition to step three, which is campaign optimization. So now we know we're talking to the right people. We know that our messaging is right. Now we start to optimize the campaign and making sure like we're getting consistent sales conversions. All right. So it might need to, even in message optimization, we might need to adjust the sales process. We might need to tweak the sales script a little bit. Adjust the questions that we're asking during the sales calls and make sure those things are refined. So that's a part of message optimization, is like your entire messaging top to bottom, right? Do we need to adjust how we're pitching and presenting the offer, right? So that's a part of message optimization. So we want to get that done. Once the message has been optimized, like you should be making, we want to see sales being made at this point. So we know the message is optimized. We're getting leads within KPI. The lead nurture process and appointment setting process, the message is optimized. We want getting bookings within KPI. We know that messaging is optimized as far as the sales goals when we're getting sales within KPI, and we're starting to see some consistent sales conversion. That transitions us to step three, which is campaign optimization. This step is all about knowing our cost per acquisition. Even if our cost per acquisition is $1,000, at least we know what it is because we're tracking it meticulously. We're tracking it and we know what our cost per acquisition is. So now we can go, okay, we're talking to the right people. We're communicating to them the right way. Our average cost per acquisition is $1,000. Now we can start to analyze, what is the constraint? Why is our cost per acquisition only $1,000? Where's the leak in our system, right? And we can start working to get that down. And our goal is we want an acquisition for like an online fitness business to be about $500 a pop. So for every $500 that we spend, we should be acquiring a new high ticket client at a 4-to-1 ratio. So either that client should be paying us $2,000 or more if we're spending $500 to acquire that client. So that's our thinking behind it. Once we get it down within the KPI, and we're like, all right, well, why are we not converting more efficiently? We're looking at, okay, what's our opt-in rate? Is our opt-in rate within KPI? We want an opt-in of 20% or more. What's our lead to opt-in to application ratio, right? What does that look like? And we want to get to a point where our application has a 40% completion rate. All right, so for one of our brands, we're analyzing this last week, we realized like, hey, we're getting our cost per application. We're getting our cost return on ROAS, the return on ad spend, at a 5-to-1 ratio. In fact, one of them is at a 7-to-1 ratio. And we analyzed, well, but wow, like right now there's a massive leak in our application process where it only has a 17% completion rate. If we can get that up to 40%, all of a sudden, we just dramatically increase the number of sales calls that we have without having to increase the number of our ad spend, right? By just fixing that one bottleneck. So that's where in phase three, in step three, we're starting to look to optimize the campaign. And when I'm talking about the campaign as a whole, I'm not just talking about like ads. I'm talking about the entire acquisition system. That's our campaign. What is the ultimate goal of a campaign? What's the ultimate goal of the acquisition system is to produce sales, is to produce a return on investment. When I'm looking at campaign, just so we're on the same page, we're looking at the entire thing. We're looking at how the ads are performing, how the funnels are performing, how our messaging process is performing, how our application process is performing, how our sales process is performing. We're looking to optimize the entire campaign as a whole. Once we get that dialed in and accomplish campaign optimization, that's when we're able to get consistently sales for less than $500 a pop. At this point, we have a profitable acquisition system. And then we transition to phase four, which is what we affectionately call the money button, right? In phase four, we're here and now we're thinking, how much money do we really want to make? How big do we want to grow this business? How much do we want to scale it? In phase four, there are three questions that you're answering all the time. How do we profitably increase ad spend? How do we increase sales conversions? And how do we keep our fulfillment from breaking and turn it into a compounding machine? So when you have a really good acquisition system coupled with a great fulfillment system, you have a business that's compounding, building reputation, getting more referrals, increasing market share, increasing profitability, and becoming more valuable and becoming actually a very valuable enterprise. So once we get that done, we're answering those three questions at any given time. If we properly increase ad spend, it puts constraint on the sales team. They have less capacity. We may need to hire more people. And then once we increase the capacity for the sales team, now it puts a constraint on the fulfillment team. We need to bring on more coaches. We need to make sure clients are staying and giving us referrals, giving us testimonials, and building the reputation of the brand. Like, how do we keep fulfillment from breaking and making sure that people are getting results at scale? So we may be able to profitably increase ad spend, but if fulfillment's broken, we're not gonna be able to scale and grow this business until the fulfillment gets right. All right, so that's really what we're looking at any given point throughout our entire process where we're answering those things. So I hope you found that helpful. That gives you a high level overview on how we build fitness businesses and businesses, online businesses in general. It's the same process, whether we're building a B2C or whether we're building a B2B, whether we're building our own business. Like, I hope you can start to, even as you're watching us build AIsetters.com, you start to see some of those things where it's like, okay, we got the foundation, like we know the offer that we're delivering, the results that we're guaranteeing, like we're going to be getting you a booking per day guaranteed using our AI, all done for you without you lifting a finger, right? So if you're an online fitness professional whose business depends on getting on qualified sales appointments with prospects, that's a no-brainer offer. It's like, what? We automate the lead gen, Charlie spits out qualified bookings, and then you just got to close them and that's it. We got the foundation laid down, right? We went through the pre-launch phase. We're live. We have ads running, right? And we're going through phase one, step one of the of going live, and we're actively going through the entire process. The same thing is done no matter what the offer is, no matter what the offer is. And that's why having principles and frameworks that you operate on allows you to be successful no matter what market that you dive into, because you're a man of principle. I love this quote where it's like, a man who understands principle can be successful no matter what environment is in. A man whose success is dependent on methodology, as soon as anything changes, he is unable to adapt and thus will suffer loss. If you build your business based on principles and frameworks, doesn't matter what market you're in, because you're going through the same process. Think about how agnostic our process is. We establish a foundation, we're gathering data, doing research, going through our CADE framework, then we transition to phase two, which is pre-launch, and we're measuring twice, cutting once, dotting our T's and dotting our I's and crossing our T's, right? And then we transition to going live. We're step one is audience verification, making sure that we're attracting the right people. Step two is message optimization, taking the information that we're gathering from the right people that we're actually talking to, not based on what we did research on, but what they're actually saying, optimizing the messaging, getting that right to a point where we're getting consistent conversions at every step of the process. Then we go into campaign optimization, and then we look at our money button, and we're looking to actually scale this business. That is the process. It's an in-depth, it's a very hands-on process, but that's what it looks like. And if that's something that you're like, wow, you know what? I love the way you broke it down. It makes a ton of sense. Now I get why you guys can launch new brands with cold traffic without posting on social media every single day or going into Facebook groups or going live all the time or doing any of this nonsense that some of these coaches and quote-unquote gurus teach you to do, while we're able to launch businesses and offers with cold traffic and make them profitable. That's the process. You get the game. Now, if you're like, wow, I got all the information, but ain't no way in hell I'm going to go and try and implement it on my own, go ahead and go to AISetters.com and get a demo of Charlie, because we only take people through that process that are using Charlie, right? And that's the benefit of using Charlie and hiring Charlie, is that not only do you get the AI doing your appointment setting for you, but now you have the bandwidth to actually focus on going through every one of those steps and going through the phases without getting bogged down in the mundane day-to-day of having the same conversations with prospects over and over and over again. So I hope you find that helpful. If you did, go ahead and click the link somewhere in the show notes or wherever to get a demo of Charlie. So if you want us to take you through our launch process, you want to take us through our scaling process, and you want to be our next brand that we are able to launch to seven figures, reach out, go to AISetters.com, schedule a demo of Charlie. And then it's just a benefit of using Charlie. We want you to continue to use Charlie. So we're going to make sure your business is as profitable as possible and that you're getting results. Otherwise, you have no incentive to use Charlie ongoing. So hope you found it helpful, and I'll catch you in the next one. Till next time, stay calm, change lives, that business on your terms. Deuces.